And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, with another fantastic episode. And actually, we're pretty damn excited about this one.
I mean, we're a little excited, I think.
A little excited.
Yeah, How can you know that's a fantastic episode until it's done? You don't know. It could be a horrible episode. Okay,
Zane, you're going to learn this about us. We make a lot of assumptions.
A lot of big claims. You'll be like, this is our best episode of the year. How do you know?
And just wait, and Zane's just going to sign off right now. And he's like, you know what?
Not the
best episode now, bitches.
I'm out.
This is going to be good. I can tell.
Yep.
That's another assumption, but I'm going to go with it. Okay. here we are. We've got a great guest today. We're really excited about it. So I don't even want to spend a whole lot of time talking to you, Derek, because I see you all the time.
You know, I'm totally okay with it, Stu, because I'd rather talk to this guy anyway than you. So it's perfect.
Okay. Well, so then let's just go ahead and roll the damn music.
Hi, my name is Stu Hawk, and this is my podcast about all the weird, crazy, spooky things that scare me and my guests, and the one thing that helps us forget all about them. Ladies and gentlemen, beer freaks.
And we're back with the one, the only, the legend, Zane Lamprey.
Zane fucking Lamprey. What's up?
Legend makes me feel old. It's not like when I was 30, people are like, oh, you're a legend, bro. No, I'm just kidding.
I feel like there could be like some younger legends. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel that way.
Listen, John Legend was always one. So
he was born a legend.
He was.
He had a lot to live up to.
That's exactly right.
Can you imagine if John Legend just became mediocre?
There are a lot of people with the last name that are just boring people.
That sucks. You know, they were destined to fail. So Zane, dude, thank you so much, man, for being on our show. You have just done some incredible work in the past. Your show, Three Sheets. You've got a comedy tour going on right now. You've had some really amazing guests on your podcast, which we all want to get to. But first, welcome. Can you tell our guests a little bit about what you're doing?
God, how much time do you have? You know, it's funny because a place that I'm often asked, or not often, but like recently, okay, often, but not recently asked, is that same question is like, hey, what do you do? And it's like, if I'm in a plane, and a lot of times when you're on a flight, you kind of want to just zone out. We all have our devices these days, but before those devices, it's like people would actually talk to each other and they'd be like, what do you do? What do you do? And you're literally auditioning that person to see if that person's worthy of continuing the conversation. You know what I mean? Like, if they're interesting, you'll keep going. But if they're like, oh, I'm an orthodontist, you're like, okay, I'm gonna take a nap. Or, hey, look at this, bicuspid. And so, but we kind of talked about it because one of the things is like, oh, okay, I've hosted 5 shows, 4 of them about drinking, 1 of them about food. Where I've traveled around the world and drank or eaten with people to learn about their culture by, you know, belling up to the bar. And I also have an apparel brand. I'm a stand-up I have a national tour coming up. So like those things could have me sitting here talking about myself for the entire flight. And it was like, what is the answer that I would give if like, oh, like, what do you do? Oh, I'm an accountant. Do you want to hear about it? Oh no, thank you. I'm gonna close my eyes. Wake me up when we land, you know. So
this sky mall all of a sudden became very interesting.
Yes, that's exactly right. I do this thing where I go through and I pick one item from each page, and I'm into that right now. So you just stop talking, mister.
Yeah. That's right. Exactly.
A sky mall reference which will very soon be out. Like when we go back, when everyone goes back to flying, is like, will the magazines on the flight really matter anymore? Because we get on the flight with our entertainment, right? Based on however long that flight is. Unfortunately, fewer books these days and more electronic devices. But this will be our last reference, our last sky mall joke. So
that's an assumption as well. Just to point it out, because I like where this whole sky mall thing is going.
I love sky mall.
Yeah.
You know what they say?
Sky mall's awesome.
You know what they say? When you assume, you're usually correct.
Yes.
Except for coaches. Cases. Coaches don't say that. Coaches say the other one.
Yeah. So we've got a couple of questions for you before we get into the crux of what this podcast is about. So first, we wanted to A, acknowledge the fact that you won Craft Brewery Marketing 2020 Man of the Year. That Thank is fantastic. You. That's badass, man. Thank Very you. Cool.
And do I hear applause?
Oh, it'll be in there.
Yeah, it's in there. Yeah.
I'm going to make it official too.
Yeah. Oh, it's there. Oh, it's there.
It's there. So I want to ask, is there any single brewery that you wow. think you helped single-handedly blow up?
Yes. I would say Maui Brewing Company would be nothing.
Oh.
Nothing.
Yes.
Without me. Forget about all the awards they won before I got there or the amazing that. Things that they're doing. No, that is that Maui Brewing Company is all me. And the fact that they just hand me the keys to the joint. You know, it's interesting. Yes. That's my buddy Garrett over there. But until we started planning this tour, so I'm going on a 90, it's turning into like almost 100 city stand-up comedy tour.
I was trying to scroll through a lot. I was trying to scroll through it. It took like minutes.
Yeah,
minutes.
Like, yeah, that was, exactly. Yeah. Imagine me.
You got a heck of a tour.
Yeah. Like, imagine you having to actually do it. and I didn't even realize until we started talking with people that like what an influence I had had. Like I it's not something I would ever say like, oh, I changed, you know, the craft brewing industry, whatever. But like, it's one industry that I definitely know that I've had an effect on. I didn't know that it was like tangible, but a lot of breweries that we talked to that we're going to said that we started a brewery because we watched your show and we learned about brewing wow. from your show or, you know, whether it was Drinking Made Easy or Three Sheets. But yeah. It's kind of, it's, you know, I'll hear those stories. And now that we're talking to breweries, I hear it more. The shows that we're doing, like Craft House out in Vegas, where you guys are, that's like the size of the brewery that we're doing the show at, anywhere from 200 to 300 people. It doesn't really make sense to us because of our overhead, tour manager, travel, all that kind of stuff, to go to breweries that are smaller. So a lot of the smaller breweries that were inspired by the shows that I've done or whatever, unfortunately, we're unable to go to. But in the last yep. year, I've talked with 1,000 breweries about the tour to end up wow. at the 100 breweries that we're going to. So it's just been wow. really, really amazing just to connect and reconnect with these people, people in the brewing industry. And I get to go out and go to my favorite breweries, talk to people that were fans of the shows that I've done and like drink beer and tell stories, you know, it's going to be
a hell of a
fun summer.
Hell of a summer. Hell
it's
of a
summer.
Hell of a summer.
I got
to imagine that, like, you know, there's so many with your history and the fact that, yes, I mean, Three Sheets was being filmed while the craft beer industry was really starting to blow up. I mean, that was like, you know, the early days of like craft beer becoming more mainstream.
Yeah, for sure. So for sure. Yeah. I would bet there weren't even 1,000 at the time.
No.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then Drinking Made Easy, we actually visited a lot of them. Visited I say 50 to 100, I don't know what the actual number of craft breweries, but now if we were to go do that show, well, I'll tell you what, we did a brewery crawl in Asheville. So we did an episode in Asheville, North Carolina. And we went to every single brewery in the episode. Nowadays,
oh, that's a big beer scene.
Yeah. I mean, no. I think at the time it was like 11 or 13. Like,
wow.
Now I don't know what the number is, but I mean, who's there now? New Belgium is there. Sierra Nevada, yeah. I think, is there. Like, you know, along with the other, you know, normal sized breweries. And the same thing with San Diego. There was a point where in like the San Diego area, there was like 24. I don't even know when that was.
Yeah.
Now there's like 240. I don't know what the number.
Oh, it's crazy. You walk down a suburban neighborhood and there's a craft brewery somehow. Mm-hmm. Like it's crazy. Sure.
Yeah.
But so let me ask you this. So how do you, I mean, that's gotta be tough to break the news when you talk to 1,000 breweries, right? And only 100 are going to make the list for this brewery tour. I bet a lot of them that don't make it are like, oh man, that was our shot. Zane Lambre was going to come here. He was going to help us explode. You know, like that's,
I mean,
be a
I've never thought about it in those terms. I don't know how much of an impact I would have really had, but there are some that figured out how to make it work. They said, well, what if we find space and do it there, and then you can, you know, like, can we do something creative where we sponsor, but we find a space or whatever. So like a lot of them are making it work. There's a lot of tents. There's some outdoor shows. There's shows at like the space next door. There's like a brew house, like literally out in the warehouse shows. I mean, for me, it's exciting because every show, every night is a different stage, you know. Yeah. It's just gonna be interesting to like walk into those. And it's also gonna be a nice baptism by fire because it's been a while since I've done the stand-up. It's gonna be amazing because I will have to adapt to a lot of things, you know. You're in there and all of a sudden, yes, like the mash tun starts like going and you're like, you know, there's noise. It's like, oh, we didn't think about the fact that was gonna turn on at that point. Sorry. You know, but yes. It's exciting all around.
Now, was your last comedy tour the one I went and saw, the Drinking Made Easy one, when you guys were touring and did kind of the whole like comedy tour, like fun show?
Yeah.
You did it at the Hard Rock here. Was that like the last one?
I mean, it was, yeah. I mean, well, kind of. We did one after that, right after that, called Sing the Booze, which was like music and stand up stories more so. But that was right on the heels of that. And then I've just been doing show to show to show, like as in TV show. I did a little bit in 2019, getting ready for the tour that was supposed to happen in 2020. Generally speaking, yeah, that was the last one. And now my plan is to do one every year because, you know, there's two reasons. A, this is exciting to me and I love going out there and connecting with people. And two is like, I just hate being at the whim of television networks, which there's kind of, now there's like, you know, there's platforms and YouTubes and all kinds of different ways that you could be seen. And I'm always having conversations with them, but I don't want to rely on them anymore. Like I put a lot of eggs into the TV basket. I'm an entertainer. I got stories to tell. I got more stories. I got three tours of stories like literally written out. Like people are going to hear one third. I think it's the best ones, but you know, and the tour will change along the way because I'm sure as all stand up happens, it will evolve. There's a few people that are going to the first show, which is in Los Angeles at LA Ale Works, and then the last show, which is it San Diego or Los Angeles? Oh, I forget. I think it's San Diego. Yeah, I've ended my tours all in San Diego, so I'm going to end it in San Diego again this time.
That's a good place. Smart, to end.
Yeah,
it. That's a good place to end it.
I mean, it's San Diego. I mean, like, come on. Yeah, it's like I'll end the tour and then I'll hang out there for a few days. So yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
You didn't want to end it in Iowa or something?
Yeah, I didn't want to end it. Yeah, exactly. Wow,
throwing Iowa under the bus.
Sorry.
Man.
I mean,
I'm sure Iowa has some great breweries.
I'll throw my hometown under the bus.
We are doing a brewery in Iowa. I say the places that we're missing are like the Dakotas. And yeah,
that's Derek's old stomping.
That's
ground.
My old stomping, South Dakota, man.
Montana. It's a tough place to do a tour through. When you were growing up there, it must have been difficult because it's like it's a hike to anywhere, depending on where, what city you were in. Where were you? Like,
yeah. I was in Aberdeen, which is the northeast corner. Literally, to any big city was a 3-5 hour drive.
Right, right.
It was crazy.
And that's also a problem with Minneapolis. Minneapolis doesn't route very well either. Because it's like a 4-5 hour drive. It's like we're doing like our route and that run is like we're starting off in Minneapolis, then we do Madison, which we might not be doing Madison, but Milwaukee, Chicago, and then we're going up to Michigan and then down into like and ending in Indianapolis. But like you don't want to have a huge drive. Like we're not doing big tour buses like we did last time. So you went to the show. So you saw the giant tour buses last time.
Yeah. The big one. With
so those
all you guys on it. Yeah.
those expensive modes of transportation are not happening this time around. I don't think there's still a possibility, but I don't think. We'll be doing we'll be crashing that night in a hotel and then doing a drive the next day. And I don't want to have like a 5 hour drive because I don't want to arrive someplace exhausted. So, you know, that's why we, most of the drives are like 3 hours, hopefully 3 hours or less. That's like, that's manageable.
Yeah. But you know what? You can steal one of Derek and I's ideas. We were talking about doing a brewery tour across America and pitching Uber on like literally a brewery tour sponsored by Uber, where you go from city to city
and they're
using Uber drivers only.
Yep.
And our goal was that Uber would just pay for all of our drinks and our travel, of course. But you know, feel free to take that idea if you're in.
Well, we reached out to, and we're still having some conversations with like Uber and Lyft and a bunch of other sponsors for the tour. And what's crazy is we were like, oh, we can tap into their audiences as well to fill up the venues.
Right.
But now we haven't even, besides a few posts in a newsletter, like we haven't done any advertising. And we're over 50% sold out of tickets for the first.
Damn.
So we,
when I was scrolling the list,
39, what's that?
Like, when I was scrolling the list, a lot of them were already sold out. I was like, damn,
oh,
this thing is going off.
I was about to buy tickets for your Las Vegas show, but I forgot my wife is pregnant and her due date is literally like a day before your show. I'm like, I can't do that.
You should probably just wait. So wait, so you're going to miss it? Well, by the way, who's ever hit a due date before? If you want to plan something on a due date, you'll be fine.
Yeah, there
you go. Don't plan it before or after. Then you'll be in trouble.
Cool.
We launched 39 cities and then those tickets went on sale. And then we have another 50 cities that will be launched on April 15th. And then there may be a few holes left that we need to fill up. And then those tickets will come out on Cinco de Mayo. And hopefully by then we're done. But like, the point is that we were supposed to start doing the marketing, but we didn't even have a chance before like some of the places filled up, like Boston, Newark, Minneapolis. Damn. Like those tickets are gone, which is just crazy.
Man, yeah, who needs marketing? It's overrated anyway. Happens to be my job, but you know what?
Fuck those guys. Who needs those guys? Yeah.
So Zane, in honor of National Beer Day today,
that's today.
That's today.
Today.
Yeah.
What a day it is.
So what beer tickles your little latissable? What's like your favorite beer?
I hate that word. I think I hate that
word. What is a latissable? What's a latissable?
I love that word. I don't know, but what's your favorite?
Like, what is the word latissable?
Yeah, don't let him off the hook for this.
Maybe don't Google it. I don't know.
I would say
Google image search.
Latissable.
While he's searching that, will you grab me
like latitude? No, it's amazing. Hey Siri, what's the definition of latissable?
What's the definition of
Letitia? No, it's a woman's name, Letitia. So, okay, well, that's fine. I was going to be very impressed. Like, that's, to get a word that I've never heard in our language, that's impressive. I'll tell you what I'm drinking. I am right now drinking a collaboration beer that we made. And by we, my apparel company.
The Adventure logo, yeah.
Yeah. So we did this with Fog Belt Brewing. We made a Redwood Lager. And at the time, I was like, I wanted to make a collaboration beer because some of the proceeds of this beer go to Green Forest Work, which is a nonprofit that plants trees in deforested areas of deforested areas of the Appalachians that have been deforested by strip mining. And you might be astounded, as well you should be, to find out that the areas that they're replanting, the number of acres that they need to replant is 1 million.
Holy cow.
That's the number of acres that it's more than 1 million, actually. Over 1 million acres that need to be reforested. 1 million. Just think about it. Just think about what that looks like.
That's insane.
So we use
drink this beer, people.
So we use some redwood tips, which are the new growth in the spring, these little green parts. And we pulled some of those off and put it in the brew with what was the hops? I forget the hop we used, but a very sort of citrusy hop. And it just like, it kind of like behaved like a hop, which is a little bit of bitterness, and it's amazing. Yeah. And so this is a dark, very dark lager made with redwood tips, and it's fantastic.
All right. That's a lager. And actually, I was reading your favorite beers are, I think it's lagers and porters. Is that right?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I've been down the whole hop train. You know what I mean? West Coast.
This double IPA right here.
Yeah, it's a green beer. You'll get to an age, young man, where you drink a hopped beer and you will pass out. You'll just be tired. You'll need a nap.
I'm getting there already. I can do the hazies, man. I can't do that skunk that like.
I like a good balance. Now look, I definitely like a nice IPA, but for me, I go less on the IBU, front. So I like lagers, but even some hop lagers, some porters, some stouts, some browns, some reds. You know, I mean, like those are kind of a little. We're doing a lot of collaborations on this tour, and we are going with just lower ABV beers. Mm. Yeah. So you can kind of like, because I will be drinking our collaboration beer. I will be drinking while I'm on stage. And if I were to have like four, like legit craft beers, like you'd have a hard time understanding me by the end.
5%.
Yeah. I mean, but honestly, even 7%, you know, like,
true.
And the science behind it too is like, the average like macro brew, call it like, 3.5-4%. Right. Mm-hmm. That a 7% will actually get in your bloodstream faster, so it actually acts like a 10%. So, like, if you drink a craft beer, you feel it, and the cans are bigger.
I got the 16-ouncer here, the Revision Quarantine Dreams, which we're all dealing with. It's a great beer. It is a New England style hazy. If you want to give it a shot, Derek,
the can art's beautiful.
The can art's fantastic.
I don't know if you can kind of see it, but
yeah. But
it's 8.1 and Zane, I can tell you right now, I am definitely feeling this bad boy.
Yeah. You feel it.
It's not my first. I'm just going to also tell you that this is my second one.
All right, Stu,
to have the pre-show.
You got to ask Zane a question. I feel like me and you both kind of saw it and we were like, what the hell? So you ask him this, cause I don't want to be here for it.
Okay. Well,
but no, I'm going to grab us some beer.
Yes.
And then you find out about this cause I'm curious.
Okay. So, Zane,
I thought he was going to leave the room. He just bent over and picked up a beer.
Don't worry about what he's doing right now.
Yeah. Ignore the man.
So we were very excited to see about your, winning the Craft Beer Marketing 2020 Man of the Year. Mm-hmm. So we did a little research on your high school, Fayetteville Manlius High School, right?
Okay.
And they actually have a list of their honoreed alumni, their most famous alumni. And it really bummed us out to not see you on this list. Like, what the hell? This guy's crushing some awards. He's been all over TV, over the internet, and he's not even in the high school honoree list of alumni.
Did they miss
you? We want to go to bat for you on this if necessary.
We're going to go down there.
Well, I'll tell you what. There was another list, which was the most famous people related to Syracuse, so which is near where I grew up, which is the downtown, right? I was in the suburb, and so I was on the top 100 of that list. Nice. So, okay, so I think Syracuse, I think that's fine.
Syracuse,
Mac, maybe I'm not on the list for academia, but that is pretty funny.
Well, they had graphic novelists on there.
Yeah,
there was an honorable mention about a serial rapist.
Oh, geez,
I shit you.
No,
not.
That is not true.
1950. Really? I'm telling you right now. Look it up. Yes, he didn't make the list, but he's on.
I know I saw a guy, his name sounds super familiar, like a Steve McKenna, I think, was on there. Oh man, it was nuts. I don't know.
Yeah, I see what you're doing. Steve didn't even go to my high school, which makes it even weirder.
It's like, damn, I didn't even know he was there the whole time.
That is that's yeah. funny. Yeah. No, that's
so we're gonna start a letter writing campaign to your
high school. Yeah, please, so I can sleep at night.
That's right. These are the important things. These are the things that keep Derek and I
up at night. And by the way, that's the thing that I'm most afraid of. So you nailed that one too.
Well, dude, and perfect. So this is a perfect segue to our favorite part of the podcast.
Yeah, the beer.
I think we've all had some beer. We got a little loose.
Yeah.
Now we can get to the fear.
Yes.
So Zane, you got to tell us. Zane Lamprey, what is your fear?
You know, do you guys know how heavy this question is? Because you can go light, right?
Yeah,
but you can also go pretty dark, like actual fear. I mean,
what we like to ask people is like legit, like what, not, you know, not like, oh, I hate bugs or what, like, no, what is something you are so afraid of that like could keep you up at night that you think about sometimes and that just scares the crap out of you?
I would say the two things are, one is in my control, one is not in my control. The first thing is, it's funny. I took a power nap today and I was coming out of that nap. And so if you take a power nap and it's like 20 minutes, you wake up and you feel amazing. If you go like into like 40 minutes, you wake up and you're a little groggy, you know? And so I woke up as a little groggy and I was like, man, what if my show sucks? what if my stuff sucks? And I was telling my wife about it. She's like, well, just, you know, you have such great stories. I'm like, well, I mean, that's what the stand-up is. I'm not really scared of it to the point where I was really concerned. It was more like the groggy guy that was coming out of it was like, what if my life has no meaning? I mean, like, so, I mean, there's legitimate fear about going up there. I mean, think about it. Like,
yeah, of course.
I'm going up and giving a 1-hour memorized speech. And what if it sucks? Then I got to like rewrite it. You know what I mean? But there's enough of like, it's not going to be me like performing against a wall, right? There will be people and there will be challenges every night that will break up the show. So I'm confident that it's going to be a great show. And I've been writing it for 2 years. I've been writing it for the last 12 years, but I've been writing it physically for 2 years. So that's one. I mean, look, the other one is, you know, is really more, I mean, it's a much longer discussion, but it's about the environment and like the natural world and what is happening to it. And I've traveled around the world. I've seen a lot of shit and I've been to a lot of developing countries. And there is such little amount of respect for the natural world, whether it's the trees, the air, the water, the animals that we share the planet with, that we're fucking doomed. I'm just gonna say like we are doomed. There is not any there's just not any fixing it because there's just too many people that feel entitled and feel like this is their world to do whatever they want in. And you know, so it's no way really to reverse it unless the government gets really strict and then people are going to rebel against that. So I don't know, man.
So Elon, get us to Mars so we can trash another planet, basically. That's
really, I mean, you know, we watch the movie WALL-E and we were just like, oh, imagine if the planet went to shit and we had to leave it. Ha ha ha. Like, really? Okay. Like, you know.
Yeah. Well, the movie Idiocracy, too. You know,
Idiocracy is more of it. Actually, that's a much closer one. It's because in there, they weren't able to leave the planet. They had to stay and deal with it. So
exactly. Yeah.
You know,
yeah. But you know what's cool about that though, is like that being one of your fears, you're actually doing something about it though.
Yeah.
Like with your adventure brand
and planting.
I'm trying. Like, look, we plant 3 trees with every purchase. I think we'll make more of an impact in just educating people that there is a problem that needs to be dealt with rather than rather than three trees that are planted making a difference. Now those trees will make a difference, but like not at the rate at which we really would like to do. And then my wife and I run a pet rescue too. So we rescue cats and dogs. I think this year alone, maybe we've had 20 dogs and 30 cats, wow. Maybe something like that. Maybe wow. 40 cats. I don't know. I lose track. I know that there's a lot. Yeah. I know there's a lot too. Walking around here. So,
so let me ask you. So do you think a lot of people are afraid of, you know, they're like, well, you know, I'm not going to make a difference. Me recycling or doing whatever, you know, not like, I feel like every single person is like, well, just me can't make a difference. But then yeah. You times that by how many people we have in the world. It's like, well, if billions, we all right. did
seven or eight
one
billions.
Little thing,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
I think that's kind of a big deal.
Well, that's the problem. And that's the,
they can do it.
That is a mixture of entitlement, right? Which is I'll just do what I want. And feeling like you're insignificant. Right. So kind of the same thing. Like I can feel entitled because mm-hmm. I don't really matter and my actions on this planet don't really matter. And so, yeah, I mean, look at like where you grew up. You know, and remember that lot down the street that was a field and now it's no longer mm-hmm. a field. Those things are not going to turn back into fields. You know, it's just
no kidding.
You're the parking lot of the world is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So, you know, I think Mother Nature was trying to give us a little hint this year about trying to do something. We're like, you know, we'll combat you. So those are fights that unfortunately, I don't think they're going to come every 100 years. At this point. So
I think you're right. I think it's going to get worse, but I will say this, like the one thing before we get to the beer, cause I know Derek is very excited. We only have a couple more minutes with you. Cause I know you have got to run soon, but I just wanted to say this because of the conversation we just had.
Yeah.
I read something and I don't know if this is totally true or not, but, that, you know, to your point of people being afraid that they can't actually make a difference, mm-hmm. something as simple as the, you know, people turning off their sink while they're brushing their teeth.
Ooh, right? Yeah.
A lot of people don't do that. A lot of people leave it running. If literally every single American made sure that they turned off their sink while they mm-hmm. were brushing their teeth, it would save us some like illogical, crazy amount of water that could actually help significantly turn around global warming. Like within a few years,
like we would end up with, we would end up with like a surplus that we wouldn't know what to do with. I pitched doing a green week, even just starting it in Los Angeles. I talked to my agent about it and he shot it down. And I wanted to make a week where everyone makes a conscious effort to cut their use of resources, water, electricity by 50%. Mm-hmm. And fossil fuels, you know, gasoline, that kind of thing, and gas. So, and just cut it by 50% for a week, and then mm-hmm. take measurements of the air and you know everything. But he's like, nah, no one really cares. That's not interesting, you know. Okay, so now I have now to save the world. I have to like entertain you and do a little dance at the same time,
But didn't we see what happened with COVID?
100% when, like, in all those big cities,
in Shanghai and stuff like that, they stopped driving for a couple of weeks. It was like, whoa, it's
insane.
Look at this. We can make a difference quickly.
We can.
And then how soon we will forget.
Yeah.
Yesterday's problems.
What kind of is that a cigar city? What is that?
So when I texted you about your fear, you kind of said public speaking, which kind of goes to what you said before, you know, with like your show and stuff. So to kind of pair this with your beer, I did a twofer here. I did this one and I did this one. So this one is from Marlow Artisanal Ales. It's called Eager to Share.
Yeah, those are handsome looking bottles. Oh, nice. Oh, so eager to share.
I paired this because you're eager to share stories, right? You're eager to get out there and tell your story, but you know, a little afraid of the public speaking. So the other beer that goes with it is a beer by Off School Beer. It's called Relax.
Relax. Nice.
Yeah. So
offshoot beer.
Yeah.
To give credit to the right folks.
And what offshoot kind of beer? What, said? What styles are those?
Said off school.
Oh, this is, so the Relax is a hazy IPA.
Yep.
Nice.
I don't believe that they plant trees for every purchase. So we need you to also tell us where to buy that beer so that we can help support that.
Yes.
Yeah. This is Fog Belt Brewing, but anyone who wants to know more about it can just go to my apparel company, which is Adventure, ADV3NTURE. The first E is a three because we plant three trees.
I love
That's
it.
Awesome.
Man. And I'm an investor in Adventure. I guess.
Oh, nice. Fantastic.
I am. Yep.
Wait, did I meet you?
The two of them.
Did I meet you in Vegas?
You took a picture with me and my wife. Yeah, it was cool, man.
Oh, that's cool.
I actually interviewed you for a school podcast.
Yes. Why do you tell?
Pre-COVID. I don't know, man. You got a lot of people you meet. I'm like, you know.
Yes. Yes. I talked to you when I was driving from LA to San Diego.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Which was awesome to me.
Yeah.
Man. That was cool.
I didn't put it there. But I remember we initially talked about this podcast a while back. We talked about that. Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But the offshoot beer is, where's this one brewed, dude? Is this one in?
Offshoot.
But a Eugene. I can't read it.
So it's actually from. I saw, yeah, they have like a brewery.
Yeah.
Florida.
Yeah.
It's in Florida.
Whereabouts in Florida?
That's where this one.
It just says Lakeland. Florida.
It says Lakeland, Florida.
Lakeland, Florida.
It says Eugene. Oh, it says it's Eugene, Oregon, and Lakeland, Florida.
I guess
an agreement. Yeah.
Well, that's why the bottle's like split in half. Or the can is split in half. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool.
It's a good looking can. Cool. Very summery.
And then this one's from, it looks like, where's this guy from? I always like to see. This one's from Connecticut, North Haven.
I believe it's pronounced Connecticut.
Connecticut. But yeah, so we're going to do these with you, man. We'll do it with the beer you're drinking, but
yeah. So tell me, did you finish your degree?
I finally did, dude. Yeah. I graduated December of 2020, COVID.
Cheers.
And now cheers, guys. Thank you. And now what are you doing?
Yeah. Trying to find a job, man. It's been kind of tough, especially with a lot of people on freezes, you know, because the whole COVID thing, but I graduated with journalism and media studies. So
that world is so much different than when I first entered it 25 years ago,
everyone's talking about TikTok and
it is on some level more approachable, but there's a lot of noise out there, but you know, the cream rises.
Exactly.
And then Stu, you're in marketing.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually work for a chocolate company here in Vegas. Believe it or not, there are chocolate companies.
Okay.
Here in Las Vegas.
Zane, would you do our podcast, please? Here is a box of chocolates and some beer. Maybe next time.
We are 100% going to send you a box of chocolates.
Yes.
We just need your address and we'll send it over to
what
you.
What is the chocolate company?
So have you heard of Ethel M Chocolates?
I have.
It is a, it's okay. So you actually, the funny thing is a lot of people have not heard of Ethel M, you know, unless you're from this area. So we just launched some new packaging, some new products. I do the marketing and digital for the business.
Oh, nice.
One of my best friends is the chief chocolatier, creating new flavors every day. That's why I've put on a few pounds, over the last like 7 years. It's it's a dangerous place to work between, you know, chocolate and then my passion being beer. It's rough. It's a rough life.
That's nice. But you should be doing what you love. So that's important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, actually, and I'll tell you this, this is actually what I love. I get to hang out with my buddy, drink some good beer and meet some really incredible guests.
Ooh.
And
tell me when you have one.
Oh, heck yeah. We'll tell you when Greg Koch comes on.
We got to make sure we pronounce that right, by the way.
We do. Yeah.
Okay. So we got a couple more questions and then we'll let you go.
Okay.
So just really quickly,
sure.
Derek is hungover a lot.
Okay.
I so do. I do.
He has a very important question for you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So granted, I loved watching all your shows and about the, your hangover cures. So I want to see like, which one did any of them really work at all?
Okay.
Right. Did you find one that worked really well? And did the monkey frog poison cure any kind of hangover?
Ever? Okay. So the monkey frog poison didn't do anything. It just makes you throw up. You don't even hallucinate. It's like,
yeah.
What happens is your body, it's given to you, you know, through your skin. Your body thinks that you ingested it, and so makes you throw up. That's just the body's response to it. So I mean, it's poison. No, that didn't really do anything. This is actually a significant part of my stand-up where I talk about this, but I'll cut to the chase. I've tried a lot of things, haven't worked. The one thing that worked miraculously was getting an IV. I mean, have you ever had a hangover and gotten an IV with vitamins?
Never got the IV.
Never had it, but I can totally, I mean, I get it, because ultimately a hangover, you're just dehydrated. Like, that's your body is lacking the nutrients.
When you drink water, your body has the ability to like absorb about 10%. And even like Pedialyte, it's like your body's not.
Wow, that's it.
That's it. You can't, you can,
I didn't know
just
that.
Just drink water. If you drink water, it's nothing's happening. And it is the dehydration. Yeah. It's literally like dehydration. It's like your brain is shrinking. You need to fill it back up with water. I mean, if you go and get an IV, and I know in Vegas, there's plenty of places to do that.
Oh yeah. Have IVs that'll drive to
they'll
you.
Drive
they
your
have
house,
cars yeah. that'll drive to you with an IV.
The problem is like sticking yourself with a needle is kind of it feels like a long way. It's like, how far have we fallen that we, that's the cure.
It's an entire industry for this.
Yeah. And then the other thing is too, is like, it's very expensive. It's like, you know, $150 probably, $99 to $200. But like, when I did it,
some hangovers are worth it.
Some days are worth it. Some next days are worth it. I mean, I woke up with a horrible hangover in Miami and my wife's like, remember we have to go out today? I'm like, honey, I can't do it. And she's like, you promised. So she made me an appointment. I went to get an IV and I thought I would go get the IV and then go home and be done. But about 25 minutes later, I'm like, let's go get mojitos. I was like back.
Damn.
Yeah. Damn. Okay, cool. Good to know. Okay. Sweet. I love it.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Sweet.
All right. Okay. Let's finish with this one. I watched Drinking Made Easy. It started with Three Sheets. I think you were analyzing the episode. You took a shot of JB in Jamaica.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Okay?
And the face that you made when you took that straight shot of JB was not good.
Right.
Would you rather take another shot of straight JB or eat the hottest buffalo wing you could possibly imagine?
If oh, my God. The shot of JB in a heartbeat.
Really? Because the way, I mean, you seem to hate that shot.
No, I did hate it, but it was over in a moment. You know, I could chase it.
Oh, true.
Also in Jamaica, but not in that episode. I did a Food Network show and I had a ghost pepper and I took a bite of a ghost pepper and I was out of commission for a half an hour. I literally had to get up and walk away. I was like sweating and angry. It hurt so much. I was so mad that I took a bite of it. Cause I'm like, oh, it's fine, whatever. Nope. So a super hot chicken wing. No, thanks. No way.
No. What did the JB taste like?
Yeah.
Oh, it was just like, you know, like 151. It was just like, it was just very strong. The point is like, you're supposed to mix it. I mean, but you wouldn't mix it cause that's fire water anyway. But like the point is you just chase it with some water and you're done. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But a hot wing can last with you.
Oh yeah.
So you would never do the hot wing show,
the hot ones.
No, I would do. I would do the hot ones show. I would be very uncomfortable doing it, but I would do it.
I'd love to see what you would rather.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Zane, tell people where to find the information about your comedy tour. How they can find all your stuff.
Go to zanelamprey.com and everything's there. Everything.
Cool. Hell awesome, yeah. man. In adventure, check out his stuff. It's fantastic.
That's all linked there as well, and I'll see you guys in Vegas somehow. I'll see Stu
in the hospital. You know,
I might be at the hospital. If not, I'll be there.
Yes. There, good deal.
and send us your address so that we can shoot you some chocolate and some of our Vegas beers.
Done. That's definitely perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. You got it.
Cool. Thank you so much, man. Seriously, this is amazing.
Guys. Thank you.
Really appreciate your time.
All right, man. Cheers.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Thanks, Zane.
See ya.
Appreciate it, man.
Got it. Thank you.